When it comes to longing to know your Heavenly Father, what's in your heart? What has your experience been? How do you get to know God? Is that something that's like so out there? It's like, there's no way I could possibly know God. Or is it, do you have this close, intimate sense of a relationship? Or is it kind of like, whatever. I'm busy, but yeah, that's kind of good. This is the kind of question that emerges in this text in John chapter 14 of how to know God. And this is why we're looking at it today on Father's Day. Let's turn to our Heavenly Father in prayer. As we have proclaimed in worship and spiritual songs, God, you are a good, good Father. And yet some of us, we don't have that experience of you. We have no idea about who you are. And there's questions about, can we actually know you? Can we actually even know you exist, Father? And yet there's no one better to turn to in our searching than to you. We pray that wherever we're coming from, that you will meet us, that we can know you more and more. We just invite you to speak to us today, we pray, in Jesus' name, amen. So open up your Bibles to John chapter 14. We're going to be reading verses 1 through 14. Reading from the New Living Translation. So, as you see, no PowerPoint this morning. Just this kind of intimate sense of following the Word this morning. So, John chapter 14, 1 to 14. Jesus is speaking. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. There's more than enough room in my Father's home. If this were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? When everything is ready, I will come and get you, so that you will always be with me where I am. And you know the way to where I am going. No, we don't know, Lord, Thomas said. We have no idea where you are going. So how can we know the way? Jesus told him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you'd really known me, you would know who my Father is. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and we'll be satisfied. Jesus replied, Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and yet you still don't know who I am? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. So why are you asking me to show him to you? Don't you believe that I'm in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I speak are not my own, but my Father who lives in me does his work through me. Just believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe because of the work you've seen me do. I tell you the truth. Anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done, and even greater works, because I'm going to be with the Father. You can ask for anything in my name, and I will do it, so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. Yes, ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. So, this morning, we're going to journey through this passage. Because I think this journey is a good word to describe knowing God. It's not like you arrive right in an instant. So we're going to kind of process some of the disciples' reflections as some of our own reflections. So first in this journey, Jesus says to us, God has a place prepared for those who love him. He has gone ahead of us. This is a deep truth to hold on to for our life, that God has gone ahead of us in our life and prepared a place for us. And yet, there's these feelings that I think Thomas he takes Jesus' words literally, and he goes, I don't know what you're talking about. You're saying the way, but what is the way? I don't know the way. And yet, as he says it literally, it's also this sense of what we feel like with God in this journey of knowing God. Many of us have gone like, I have no idea how to get to God. And this is, isn't this kind of the defining aspect of our culture? There's a permeated around our culture is this sense like, you can't know if God exists. There's this, Jesus says, trust in God, trust also in me, which is almost the opposite of what our culture says, isn't it? It says that, like, there's this, the air that we breathe is, you can't know God. It's hard to even, you know, say that we, how much we actually can know. This is philosophy, is what can we actually prove? So there's a lot of premises in our culture that kind of contradict what Jesus has said. And yet on the emotional level, sometimes it feels like confusion of what is the path to knowing God? Oh, there's all these different religions. There's all these different friends I have, and they say this way and this way. And there's such a sense of confusion, and there's reacting in fear. There's this sense that God is almost lost in our culture, and there's kind of no way of knowing him. I was having this great conversation with a buddy of mine who's a really brilliant mechanic, and we were talking about these things of knowing God, and he was just like, well, what about this? What about this? And then I just was like all exasperated and let it out, and he was and it was just kind of like, whatever. And he threw up his hands and was just kind of like, I'm done. And yet, when it came to mechanics, he would never treat that subject in that way. He's like, this guy is brilliant. And yet, so in this one area, like, I think it just illustrated how frustrating it can be. Like, I don't know the way. What is the way to knowing God? So there is this sense, just like Thomas said, we have no idea where you are going, so how can we know the way? So there's this sense we can relate to that in the journey of how do I know God? And yet Jesus says he's preparing a place for us, and we do know the way. We do know the way. This is what Jesus says. So this is part of the process of recognizing, okay, where's our culture at? Another thing, it's a challenge in knowing our Heavenly Father, is that we can know about God, but not actually know God. Do you know the difference? And it's kind of articulated in the other reflection from one of Jesus' disciples, Thomas. No, Tom. We talked about Thomas. This time Philip says, Lord, show us the Father, and we'll be satisfied. You know, just show me the Father, and that'll be enough. Jesus is frustrated. Have I been with you all this time, Philip? And yet you still don't know who I am? I think there's a very real sense where you can know all about someone without knowing them personally. You could read a biography about someone and yet not know what it was like to be in their presence. In a scary sense, you can go to church. You could go to church your whole life, learn all about God, but God could be out there where you don't know him, where you don't encounter him personally, where you don't have a sense that he is your Father. It's like, you know, it's like, maybe we don't need to say that, but there is this sense of, let's not settle, church. Let's not settle for conversations or being here on a Sunday with just talking about him out there or singing about him rather than letting him come in where you're personally engaging with him in song, in word, in deed. And as we discuss the message proclaimed through God's word, let's not settle for just discussions about the message. In the proclaiming of God's word, God wants to speak personally to you. Let's engage with him personally. As we meet, let's not settle for knowing about him. For some of us with problems of Christianity, there's this sense where there's this real frustration in our culture about the exclusive claims of Christianity, that this is the way to know God. We talked about this in the marriage series. Is this a logic conversation or an emotion conversation? Sometimes our problems aren't actually intellectual, but they're personal. There's this sense of like, well, I'm afraid to let the God of the universe personally in. I'm afraid of being known. Watch this. Christine and I watched this great, wonderful movie Friday night called Good Will Hunting. If you can get past a lot of the blue-collar language and a couple scenes, it's this amazing story about our human experience and our human experience of our fear of being known. The main character was brilliant intellectually, and he'd throw people off and all kinds of things, but when it came to the heart stuff, he was not willing to let people in. And it was this story of a human journey of overcoming, of the courage it takes to being known. And I think that really relates in this subject. It takes courage to step out and let God in, to actually let him into your heart, to actually trust, to let him in a step of faith. Show us the Father, Philip says, and I'll be satisfied. Have you ever prayed that prayer? I did, in a matter of different words. I can remember being 15, kind of late at night, in the dark, kind of wrestling with some of these questions, and just going, God, I'm wrestling. Are you real? If you could just send an angel right now, then I would know for sure you're real. Just give me that one experience, and then I'll follow you the rest of my life. Then I'll know. I didn't get an angel at the end of my bed that night. That was my longing. I was looking for a miracle. I don't know if Don Wood is here, but I had a great conversation with Don on the way back from our men's ministry trip to Seattle. We were required to go watch the Toronto Blue Jays. Beat up on the Mariners. We had such a great time. I spotted you, Don, but you can remain incognito. But Don had this brilliant reflection, just going like, I don't know, as time's gone by, kind of as his kids are growing older, they're in their 20s. I think he's got one daughter who's 19, but he's just like, so much of life can be spent on this concern about providing and like making enough money. And yet, you know, as time goes on, I really see the miracle of life is in the relationships. You know, try and argue something different with someone in a hospital bed in Quesnel facing the end of their life right now. Try and take a different position that there's things more important than relationships. It's going to be a tough argument. We ask questions in knowing God. We can settle in knowing about him versus knowing him. And yet there's this amazing journey, this call to know God. God answers us in our confusion. He leads us in the journey. He says he's prepared a place for us, and we know the way. And just so it's clear, right here in the text, this profound truth. We don't know the way, Thomas says. We have no idea. Jesus tells him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you'd really known me, you would know who my Father is. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip says, Lord, show us the Father, we'll be satisfied. Jesus replies, I've been with you this time, Philip. You still don't know. Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. There's this profound truth. So why are you asking me to show him to you? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? This is profound. The words I speak are not my own, but my Father who lives in me does his work through me. Just believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. or at least believe because of the work you have seen me do. Something that really opened up this passage for me was this privilege as a pastor was studying introductory Greek. So in studying introductory Greek, this word for the way, Jesus said, I am the way. So this Greek word, hados, and it can mean either way, road, or path. So as soon as that was kind of like described to me, it was like, oh, that, like, I get roads. Way is like a really idea, it's an idea. It's very abstract, and it's like this becomes more concrete. Jesus is the road to travel on to know God. He is the path to travel on to know God. My father-in-law gave me this, he's given me a lot of great books, and one of which was this story about this South American native people called the Motolones. And they had this deep regret over their whole tribe in South America. And there was this sense that they had followed this guy. And in this process of following him, they felt that they lost God. Similar to our culture, they had a sense of a lostness of God. And they would look for him. And it was crazy. They would like shout in holes and shout in trees, God, where are you? At the same time that they were searching for God, God showed up in a high school student's life in Minnesota, tall, blonde-haired, skinny kid with glasses who loved languages. And he grew up in a home that was familiar with church, but he had no sense of a true knowing of God. And he had this encounter with God, and he asked God, and he, in his prayers, he said, Lord, I'm frightened by you. I don't even like who I am. And yet when I read about you, everyone around you was changed. I want that, God. I don't understand how it all works, but please, Jesus, let me know you. Make me new. And he said, as he prayed this prayer, he had this profound sense of knowing God, that he was saved, and knowing that God was in that room, right there, right then, this awe just filled. He said, I didn't even want to move because I didn't want the moment to end. It was so powerful. And after that encounter of knowing him, it wasn't just a moment. It was the beginning of a relationship. And in that relationship, God transformed him. And he used who he was, and he grew his heart. And he grew this heart for South America and the peoples of South America to know God. And it came to this point where he even went, just as a young adult, we got young adults going to a foreign culture very quickly. Well, he went to a foreign culture following what God had placed in his heart. And it took him years and years of getting into the bush, but God had put the Motolone people on his heart. And the Motolones, if you know anything about them, they were famous for their greetings. If you greeted them, they would shoot arrows at you. So there was the oil companies were after their land, and they had killed anyone who would try and come into their land. The other native peoples around were afraid of them as well. So it came to this point, finally, where he was going into Motolone country, and guess what happened? They shot him with an arrow, and they captured him. And there was he went through this whole journey, and there was this other point where they were kind of talking to him, and there was this embrace, and he was healing, and God, he almost starved. There's so many different things that almost happened to him, but he wanted to meet the chief of the Motolones, but the chief was the most fierce of them all, and if he met the chief, most likely the chief would kill him. But in the process of going to meet the chief, his face started turning yellow and his eyes started turning yellow. And this one guy who he'd really connected with, who he nicknamed Bobby because his name was really long and, you know, it was the easier way of saying it. He's like, wow, how do you make your face turn so beautiful and yellow? And then he realized as he was getting sicker and sicker, he had hepatitis. And he was going to die unless he got antibiotics, and he was in the middle of the jungle. Well, they bring him before the chief like this. And because they have this tradition where they don't kill the dying, they didn't kill him. So there was, because they thought it would bring a curse on them. So, in fact, God delivered him from death, from the chief through hepatitis. And what happened was the natives said this bird from the sky came, a helicopter came, just happened to fly by. They got him at just the right moment and brought him out. They said if he'd been in the jungle 6 more hours, he would have died. Well, it took him like a year to come back, and he came back with a whole bunch of medicine. He was pretty pretty knowledgeable about medicine and languages, and he came back cured. And they found that pretty fascinating. And what was also very fascinating was he was tall and blonde-haired. And there had been this prophecy in the seeking of God that a tall, blonde man, through a tall, blonde man, God would speak through a banana stalk. And he was just like, what on earth is that about? Through a banana stalk, God wouldn't speak through it. He would come out of the banana stalk. And about 5 years into this journey of South America, never shared his faith. This was his longing. Hadn't got to this point. There was this moment where they were hacking up a banana stalk, and it looked like a book. And he had one book with him, and it was a Bible. And he brought God's word to this people, and they couldn't believe it. They just saw dots on a page. They'd never seen a book. No one could get near them, right? They just shot anybody who'd gone near them. And they found out about God, and they thought he was lost. So he said, this is God's banana stalk. And it was like, you know, the Matrix, the slow motion, that action scene where it's all coming together. And it's amazing, and God is being revealed. And one of the natives, he heard that God was in this. So he started tearing out pages and eating the pages that God would be in him. And he said, no, it doesn't work that way. And then, in fact, very quickly in his brain came this story that the Motolonis told about ants. That the ants were building a home one time, and one of the Motolonis was there trying to help, and all the ants were afraid of the Motolone man, so they all ran away. And he's like, oh, if only I could become an ant to let them know. And in that moment, he became an ant, goes the Motolone legend. And then he lived among them, and then he said, I was that person. I was that one trying to help you. And they remembered, but they laughed. This is like, that wasn't you. There's no way. And then in that moment, he became the man again. But then they trusted him, and they saw. And that was the legend of why the ants built their homes the same way as the Motolonis built their homes. And that story helped open up this truth that God became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. And when they heard that God had become man, they were in total shock and awe. And it was like this truth, this powerful truth of knowing him opened up in this profound way. And what they said after might be a bit confusing at first, but it makes sense. So they asked him, well, where did he walk? Have you asked that about God? Where did he walk? Well, the reason they asked it, because in the bush, they all had their own trails. Last week, in the message, we're talking about identity. If you walked down the trail of one of the Motu Ohlone people, you would find that personal person. That their trail was their identity marker. So when it came to God, they wanted to know, well, what path do you walk on to know God? What's his trail? And he said, if you want to find God, this is what the young man named Bruce said. He said, if you want to find God, you have to walk on his trail, his road, his way. And he said, no man can tell you how to walk God's trail. You have to go to Jesus. And then he used one more metaphor, and it's they all slept in hammocks, and they would sing into the jungle. They would sing amongst their hammocks, and the missionary, Bruce, he tried to sing, but he was afraid, so he wanted to have one foot on the ground and then one foot on the hammock because he didn't want to flip. So the missionary says, you know how I tried to do it that way? And you said, no, it doesn't work. This is what you got to do. You have to have both feet in the hammock. You have to tie the strings of your hammock into Jesus. And Jesus will tell you how to know God. And that clicked for him. And it's a metaphor of faith. Because we want to be on solid ground. We want to go like, okay, I trust you, but let me have my own security and my stuff, and I can't go all in. But there's only one way to truly know God. It's to let him in. So he did that, and it was this. So he came back the next day, this guy named Bobby, and he said, I tied my strings to Jesus, and I speak a new language now. And there's life in me that wasn't there before, and he's real. We have found God. And it totally transformed this whole native tribe. And there's this powerful story. It's the story of Bruchko. You can, if you ever want to pursue that. But that's what it's like to know God. And Jesus said, I tell you the truth. Anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done and even greater works because I'm going to be with the Father. You can ask for anything in my name, and I will do it so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. Yes, ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. This is the amazing thing, is that God doesn't just invite us to know him. He invites us in on the action, in on the adventure. And it's hard, and it's scary, and it's a journey. And yet, just like this man, Bruce, who had this powerful story and just living out these works of doing the same things he has done. Even powerful, this is what it might look like. We get called in into that very action, so to speak. And it's through Jesus. It's through Jesus' path. It's through his road. God never answered my prayer for him to show up in a way that I expected him to. I never got that angel at the end of my bed. But when I was 19, I asked God into my life, and he gave me something way better than a one-time experience. I got a relationship where I got to know God as a good, good father. It was a risk of giving my life to him, of tying my life into his. And in the challenges of life, he's been there when our family has needed finances, been down to last dollars, he's been there. When I've been emotionally discouraged, overwhelmed, he's spoken through his banana stalk. He's spoken through his church, his Holy Spirit that he imparts into you as he comes into you. Has revealed who God is, and it's knowing the Father in a way that I could never have imagined that is so much better in this journey. This is what it is to know God. The amazing other half of it is that as we search to know him, He wants to be known by us. He's a good father, and he wants to share his life with you. And it's profound and it's deep, and that's the most famous verse in the Bible, isn't it? John 3:16. For God so loved you, Amy, Bruce, Val, Dave, that he gave his one and only son, that whoever would embrace him and believe in him would have eternal life, that you shall not perish, but have eternal life. He has prepared a place for those who would embrace him. And this is the amazing truth. And what's the application for us? Well, there's this search to not settle for knowing about him, but to know him. The challenge is, hey, we've been reading from the book of John. There's no better place to start if you want to know God than the book of John. Open up his banana stock. Don't read about him. Read it with him. Read it. Invite him to speak to you personally. It's an ongoing relationship. A second application is this powerful metaphor of fatherhood. God has revealed himself through the metaphor of being a father. There's also a metaphor of him like a nurturing mother in the scriptures. We've talked about that. But as a father, there's this profound sense of being known. So I just want to encourage you dads to let your kids into your heart. Tell them about your experiences. Tell them about your joys, your dreams. Tell them about some of your hardships, your struggles. Tell them about how God has been there for you, or you're wrestling to know him. Let them in. Kids, pursue your dads. Know your dad. And then this applies to motherhood. It applies to grandparents. This wonderful metaphor where we understand what kind of relationship God wants with us through this metaphor of being a parent, through being a dad, and this wonderful joy, as we talked about, true living is in the relationships. It's in knowing God as a good father, and it's the courage to be known by others, and it's in these relationships that God works. There is this this grieving, if we never had a dad who we knew personally, this grieving of having had a dad or a parent who's not here, who's passed on. And yet there's this amazing provision where God comes and meets us in this powerful experience as Father. If you want to know God, the way to know him is through Jesus. It's through walking Jesus' path. Jesus says, I am the road. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And this is the way to the Father. Let's pray. God, this is almost more than we can grasp, that you pursue every nation, every tribe, every language, all people groups. You reveal yourself to people all across the world throughout the ages. You overcome a profound sense of lostness, a profound discouragement of knowing, of feeling like we have lost you, or we don't know you, or you cannot be known. And you pursue us, and you stir in us. And the road to knowing you is through Jesus. And we just proclaim that here today. And we say, you are so good. And we also say, God, we want to know you more. God, for those who have never taken that actual step to know you, maybe today is the day. Is there a better day than Father's Day to take that risk of knowing you, to tie their life into yours? God, I pray for courage for those who have never done that. Courage to be known by you. I pray for courage for those where it's been a long time, been in the church for a long time, Lord, and yet that doesn't mean personal experience and knowing you intimately, closely, a sense of you at work. I pray the courage to seek you, to repent of ways where we have settled for knowing about you, for talking about you, for covering up a sense that you are not personally at work in our hearts, ways where we have pursued other things. I pray for us who have a sense of you ongoing and yet are in the midst of challenge. I pray that they will know that you can figure it out, that ultimately you have prepared a place for them, and ultimately they're in your hands, and that there is not a sense, a profound lostness, but a profound, powerful sense that you're in control and that we can trust you, and that Jesus, you are the way, the truth, and the life, and we are profoundly amazed at your love for us. And we celebrate this on this day. Give us the courage to also reveal ourselves and pursue others to be known intimately, that these are one of the greatest joys of life and that you are at work in these things. Thank you for this day. In Jesus' powerful name we pray. Amen.